B-Pod Studios.
Ball fake, moves it left. Curry's got it. Back it out. Kyrie with nine. Moving left. Foul line. Irving dancing down the lane. Floater crawls in off the front of the rim. And there it is. 50 for Kyrie Irving.
Too little, too late. For Kyrie Irving, we are the Touchroom Rich radio program. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Now, Mike Gorman, the voice of the Celtics, scheduled to join us at 8:20. We're in intense negotiations because he doesn't want to be associated with John, our own John Wallach, who is now a representative of the deplorable Bryant University. And I will read you a tweet that we've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, there was a fight in the stands. John was calling the game, and there was a fight in the stands. It's hard to watch. It's too violent.
It was long. Like, it went on for about 8 minutes. You thought it would die down, and then it would start back up again.
And then there were players trying to get in the stands.
And I have to stand by this because it's in tweet form.
I see.
And so I got to assume it's all true. Having worked at Bryant for 7 years, this isn't the least bit surprising. The school breeds entitled, selfish, and violent animals who are far too often under the influence of way too many substances, and I'm not just talking alcohol. So according to this person,
I see.
Violent drug addicts pouring out of the school.
And that's why John has a kinship.
I'm one of them.
As evidenced yesterday with the behavior of the fans, so... just waiting on the NCAA to tell them not to bother.
Don't bother packing up. Yep.
Don't bother packing your bags. We're going to get to some other team that's going to lose in the first round. All right. Listen, Middle Tennessee State beat Michigan State when Michigan State was a one seed, I believe.
Two.
Oh, they were two seed. I remember.
There's only been one seed to lose in the first round.
I was in Key West when that game was going down.
When do they announce the – is it Sunday?
Sunday.
Sunday. Okay, Selection Sunday, baby.
Right. Right around the corner.
That's right, the Bryan kids, they'll be all in a room, and there might be a camera there, and hopefully they can handle it. They can behave themselves at least for the hour-long selection show, and violence doesn't break out again. And John sitting there covering it up, just like your typical.
Was it the Bryant players? It was typical, the Bryant fans.
Your typical left-wing media yes. Honk. What are you, Moonbat over here, covering up for all the realities in our society?
Yeah.
Bert put something up about, hearing about it on our show and wanting to go home and, like, watch the fight. And someone put, Boston is racist. So add race war to what was going on yesterday.
Why didn't I deduce that?
Well, it was a race war, is what it was.
It's also in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Not even in Massachusetts.
Well, it's the New England area.
Yeah, of course.
Now, is Bryan is not the... Salve Regina is the one that's in Newport.
Correct. Salve Regina, yes.
Where is Bryan?
Bryan's northern Rhode Island, about 10 miles south of the border, off Route 295, near Woonsocket.
Mm-hmm. And so the kids go out in Providence?
Some do, yes.
Okay, but Providence, how far are you from Providence? I just know Mass 24. That's anything that's not that
20,
I don't know.
30 minutes north.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's quite the drive, yeah.
So it's a Rollins-esque campus, I would imagine.
Yes.
It's a nice area.
Pretty self-contained, yes.
They got the one college bar that everyone goes to, like called
there's
like,
more
Rowdy's
than one, but yeah, yes.
Well, we had the Mill, we had the Park Tavern.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Parentes, famous restaurant right outside campus. Yes.
Yeah, we had Park Avenue is what our school was on, and we had about 7-8 bars. And then there was literally train tracks in Winter Park, Florida. Literal train tracks, and on the other side of the train tracks, like the housing just like went down 90% in cost. It was like literally across the train tracks, and I lived on the train tracks my senior year, and that's why I am who I am today. Someone who for a full 8-month school session was on the border of the haves and the have-nots, making connections.
I'm thinking, you saw the hobo lifestyle. You were on the train tracks. You had a chance to hop a train.
The only hobo lifestyle I know is the kid I know that's a hobo. that's on Facebook. He's hoboing around.
That to me is fascinating, that someone can be a hobo and yet continue to have a phone that they can post on Facebook and pay, obviously, their phone bill, which is not cheap.
I don't know.
Seems a little strange.
I can tell you in all certainty, the kid is from no money and it has had many, many legal troubles and has a lot. If he has a lot of money, he hasn't spent them on the tattoos he has, because the kid's probably got 100 tattoos, and I don't think one was from a tattoo gun. They're all those Indian ink ones that with the string.
People very angry at you, Wallach.
Okay.
You work at Bryant and you don't know that it's in Smithfield.
What did I say?
Wallach just said Providence was 20 to 30 minutes north of Bryant. Guys, check a map. I mean,
if you have a helicopter, it is.
A lot of people very,
straight
very
shot
angry.
On 146, but it's not like 3 miles away.
Regardless, what I'm hearing is race war, drug-addled violence is the product of, at least according to Twitter.
When you insult Rhode Island, John, they let you know.
No
and
kidding.
And you did insult Rhode
My
Island
My goodness.
I'm very rare will I be 95 down into Rhode Island. It's always the 24 is what I take.
There's 13 guys in jean shorts outside right now protesting.
Okay.
I want you to know that.
You know what should be a lovely city and isn't is Fall River. Fall River has everything going for it. How that is not a vacation
Very
paradise.
Very scenic, the Braga Bridge right there. Yes.
How that is not a vacation paradise is really, I don't know, understand how that got out of hand. If I would develop the hell out of that area.
Yeah, Fall River is a place you step on the gas a little faster.
But it's it should, for all intents and purposes, geographically, it's in a beautiful location.
Yep. Economically, it's not.
Well, that's my whole point, is that like, how come no one can get it together and buy that stuff up? The water's the water. You buy that. I mean, how far is it from? It's what, a stone's throw from Newport.
John, they're saying pull the tape. You said Woonsocket.
You did say Woonsocket.
Did I? Oh, then that's my mistake.
John's focus.
I said
on,
it's near Woonsocket.
John's focus on copping drugs from the kids when he gets in there.
Said it's next to Woonsocket, not in Woonsocket.
Woonsocket is where he picks up his junk, and that's and then so he can finally fit in with the violent students of Bryant University,
mm-hmm.
who, if you don't know, had a racial motivated brawl in the stands, yes,
according to the listeners.
Right.
According to a listener.
It is interesting that we have no, I would like to know if anyone was in the stands. There's guys who are saying that they have video from the other side over where John Wallach was, because, you know, the Wallaholics all wanted to be, because mm-hmm. that's where John was. John was looking across the way
right.
at the fight. So that's where your fan club is. That's where the Dog Pound, right? The Wallaholics, they hang out.
No, the Dog Pound was where the fight broke out.
Well, I'm guessing the Bryant University student body isn't huge listeners of AM Drive Radio. I'm gonna guess
there are a few. There are.
Yeah,
there are a few.
I would put the emphasis on few. I don't think that
saying college students usually don't get up this early.
Or I don't know if they're the world's biggest radio fans, but maybe they are. Maybe they are. What can I say? All right. Well, we were going to talk about Isaiah Thomas and how badly he wants to play in Boston. And he's really just letting everyone know, despite the fact that he's got a chance to play in the NBA. But Mike Gorman has been willing. He feels his reputation is strong enough that he can share an interview with John Wallach.
Yeah.
Who I know right now the Beasley Corporation is wondering what to do with. If a suspension is in order.
Dan just sent me a screen cap from last night's game, and there's Wallach sitting there, and right behind him is this kid just digging about knuckle deep up in his nose.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
He's just like...
It's a good... Me 20 years ago.
It's picking him a winner.
All right. We will be back with the great Mike Gorman in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thank you.
We are the Dutch and Rich radio program. Mike Gorman is the voice of the Celtics. For NBC Sports Boston, he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Gorman, thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back.
Love it. We
Zoom.
Are on the Zoom. Very good. Very good.
You can hear me. You guys are loud and clear on this end. No video, but that's okay.
There's no video. All right, we'll figure that out for next time. All right, so I'd like to. It'd be good. We could see each other. It'd be like you're here. Right. Did you see the violence erupt at Bryant University yesterday?
You know, I didn't. I just heard you guys talking about it, and I'm sure I'll be able to go to somewhere and find it when we get through here. But no, was it like the Malice in the Palace or whatever that was at the?
No, much more drug fueled. All right, so
you guys are giving Rhode Island a hard time this morning.
It's making John really uncomfortable because he loves the university. So I'm just saying stupid crap. I'm just repeating what people on Twitter say, which is always true, as you know.
And you all the way out to Fall River, you got them. You nailed them about the Bragg Bridge.
I think Fall River is beautiful. You know your way around Newport. Like, why isn't someone should develop the hell out of Fall River? That's all I'm saying. I mean, geographically, it's a beautiful location.
And if you don't get out, if where the split happens, if you don't go to Newport and go down and say to Little Compton, Little Compton, I mean, those are beautiful little towns.
Yeah, Beaches. Little Compton. I've been to Little Compton.
Oh, Little Compton's unbelievable.
Yeah, Little Compton's nice. All right,
I got married in Little Compton, actually.
Yeah, my wife and I had discussed that if we had lived in this area, we would have been married down there, around there. All right.
We're losing listeners by the carload here.
That's happened long ago. So, Mike, there's a kid that is, I do want to talk to you about this. There's a kid, it's all over ESPN, it's on SportsCenter.
On a day where you had Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and everything that's going on in the NBA, they are spending a good 5 minutes on this fight in this game.
So there's this kid named Peter Kiss that's on the Bryant Bulldogs, and he is the nation's leading scorer.
Really?
And yes. After every basket, he would do a push-up, he would flex, he would do this teacup thing, anger the bench.
He would point at the opposing team's bench. And, Mike, this is all during a blowout. Like, Bryant was blowing out this other team in a championship game, like, by, 30 points, and he's still doing this
and
stuff.
So my question to you...
Blowout early.
I mean, they should have pulled the kid. I mean, it's ridiculous they didn't pull the kid out of the game. It would have affected nothing. And so my question to you is someone who did the Big East and has done the NBA for as long as you have, Have you ever seen someone gloat? I wish you would have seen him, but like gloat in such a dramatic fashion after every bucket. Have you ever seen anyone just completely lose it like that?
No, I can't. I can't recall anybody losing it like that. And certainly when not in a blowout, it's one thing if it's a close game, but not in a blowout. I can't recall it. I mean, again, I wish I had seen the footage before we get on here, but
it's bad. It's bad.
Have you been suspended, John, for talking about it or anything?
John has been trying to whitewash this. Emphasis on white. John has been trying to whitewash this the entire morning. And, I'll leave it at this, and then we'll talk about the Celtics. The idea that the Bryant coach didn't pull the kid is fascinating. It really is, because you haven't seen it, which makes me feel better, because I've never seen anything like it. And
I'm anxious to see this now.
Yeah, you gotta.
Yeah, and the fight's whatever. He's like legitimately at least in his conference, is a legitimate great player.
He's a 6'5 tweener kid that he's quick. I mean, like, you know, he's good at that level. There's no way he's playing in the NBA, but you know, at that level, he's got a knack for scoring. It appears. Yeah.
John there? John's there, right?
Yes. What's up?
Did you have to call the fight?
Yes. By myself for a long period of time. Yes.
No color person.
No.
You work alone.
Yes. In this case, I did. Yes.
It's a little confusing what's going on over there in terms of how they're working calling the games. I won't get into it, But there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. There's a lot of...
But yes, I was by myself. The fight lasted about 7 or 8 minutes. It was interesting, say the least.
And there were no breaks you could throw it to or anything. You just had to keep talking.
I kept talking for a while before I finally was able to throw it to break, yes.
Yeah. And the breaks are...
Do you have any copies of that we can hear?
Yes, we do. Oh, yeah. Listen to the 7 o'clock hour. and the breaks are like PSAs for like sunburns.
No, the break was nothing. I listened to it. It was like, John, did you just like send it to nothing?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. It was basically 2 minutes. And I felt for... Because John had like been calling this, and at some point, it's just a bunch of people discussing what we do. Yeah. And I'm like, man, John... I feel bad that he has to continue talking. Everyone else gets to take a break. And finally, John's like, all right, we're going to take it to break. And then it was like 2 minutes of silence so John could just collect himself.
Yes.
Which I felt for you. I'm like, give the guy a break.
Yeah.
Was there a specific incident that triggered the fight or just a buildup over a period of time?
It was student sections next to each other. It was a blowout and there was a lot of taunting going on. And no one's really sure who started it, but it just got ugly after a while.
And players got involved?
There were some,
almost
there was some way it was behind the Wagner bench. Wagner was playing Bryant. It was behind the Wagner bench and there were a couple of Wagner players that were trying to get up into the crowd and had to be restrained.
Okay.
The real story though is this kid celebrating. Like the real story is this Kiss kid celebrating.
So he just provoked the whole thing.
I don't know.
He certainly didn't help matters.
But you can't blame him. He's not the reason.
But you can't blame him, but also it was like a heated game that you had, you know, both sides.
Black, he'd be the reason.
Yeah, some teams getting embarrassed in a championship game, and then you had another team that, you know, what was that, friend?
I said if he was African-American, he would have been the reason, according to John. I don't know.
How did we morph into that?
How did we get
from there to here?
Because of the weird tweet about how... Boston's raises because of the fight.
So that's how it was.
You'll be talking about Federal Hill soon. I know.
It was so out of left field that I'm having fun with John. Everything I'm saying is obviously sarcastic. What do I know about Brian? All right. So anyway, if you don't know, Mike, according to all the people that do it for a living, statistically, the Celtics are winning the NBA championship.
I've heard that going around. I just like to see him move up a notch or two and get the home court for the first round. But yeah. It's remarkable the change in this team. I mean, I wouldn't have given you 10 cents for their chances a month ago, and now I can see why they could be considered. I still think Philadelphia is the best team. It will probably win the whole thing, but I think the Celtics should be right there in the Eastern Conference Finals again, the way they're playing right now, because Mr. Tatum has decided that he is going to show everybody he can be what everybody thinks he can be, which is an unbelievable all-around player. And now that he's passing the ball, it does come back to him. He still gets his 30 to 40 points. And he also has 8 assists, and 7 rebounds, and 2 steals, and a blocked shot. And none of those stats were there 8 weeks ago. He's just really turned – he's turned his game into him being considered for MVP. And as a result, the team is picked up on it. And the other thing is that nobody's talking about is the coach has done a terrific job. I mean, he really has. He answers every question. He does not dodge anything. He does his due diligence in responding to everybody and getting back to people if he says he will. And he's gotten through to these players, and they listen to him now, and they believe in him. If you watch him on the sideline, he coaches more than anybody I can remember. I mean, he's always got an arm around somebody coming in and going out of the game and trying to get a little extra point across. And these are attentive faces. These aren't guys who are looking at the floor and not paying attention. They're looking back and listening. And as a result, you know, they're a very good defensive team statistically, and they're turned into a pretty darn good offensive team because Tatum goes out and gets you 40 every night.
After watching what he did against Brooklyn last Sunday, and that was one of those games that the nation, you know, because it's on national TV, stands up and takes notice of, where do you see Tatum kind of in the pecking order as far as best players in the league? Is he top 5? Is he top 10? Where do you see him?
Oh, he's definitely top 10. He might be hovering around 6 or 7 there, and I have to do it. I mean, Jokic and B, that's going to be one of those two guys wins the MVP. I don't think it can really be anybody else. But he'll get notice. I would say he's definitely in the top 10 and maybe hovering around 6 or 7. I'll just start writing things down. But I think Embiid's going to get it. I think he should, as well as Jokic plays. And Jokic might be the best player in the league. Embiid carries it to Philly. And if they get the kid back and he plays a little bit, you know, things are going to be good for them.
I think my favorite thing about what Jason Tatum has been doing lately is, and I even heard Coach Udoka say this word, and that was that he is someone who is wanting to be an alpha. And that was a knock that was always on Jason Tatum, was that he might be a great player, but he was kind of passive, and he wasn't the kind of give me the damn ball guy. And I don't know if it was the first time that I've seen him do this, but it sure as hell was an exclamation point on who he's become. When you go up against Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and you say, I got this, I'm taking over. And that, to me, don't you think that that's one of the main qualities you need for a team to have a guy like that in order to win a championship?
No question. I don't know who the Celtics are. The Celtics are deep. I don't know if they're championship deep, but they're deeper than people think. You know, the kid White who came over from, that was a great move.
Yeah.
He's a very good player and he fits their system really well. I still think they're a little weak around the middle, but Horford has played so well. It's hard to say that. I think this team has a chance to really go a long way, because what you described is, if he did exactly what he did when he was facing Durant on Sunday a month ago or 8 weeks ago, it would have been he doing that and four other guys just kind of standing around watching. Now guys are cutting, guys are moving, guys are making the rest of the defense play hard. They can't just stand and watch. And as a result, and Tatum, too, doesn't always take the shot himself. He will try to draw people and try to dish to somebody else. And as long as he keeps doing that, and if Brown comes back and is as healthy as he seemed he was the other day and can do the same with his game, this team can be very, very good. I mean, they may not have – they'll always have a problem with the Joel Embiids of the world. But other than that, they're a very good basketball team, and they defend like hell, which is really fun to watch.
It's weird. I love Isaiah Thomas, and when he was here, obviously, it was probably the best thing that – the best era, in my opinion, of this team, despite them going to the finals and stuff – or the Eastern Conference finals. When Isaiah Thomas was playing, it was my favorite era in the last decade.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah, you couldn't miss a game. Despite all of that, I think we're all seeing now that, you know, he doesn't belong on this team. Something's going right. You know, you don't want to screw up with the chemistry. That's why it was kind of heartbreaking yesterday to see that press conference, because they're playing Isaiah tonight, Tom, Fred. I'm not sure if you knew this.
Like, yeah.
So he was asked about the Celtics, and it sounds like this poor guy, all he wants in life is to play for the Celtics again.
Not even play. He said he'd wave a towel at the end of the bench. He just wants to sit there.
It's not even like that. Again, I'm sure it's, you know, he's very grateful to be playing in the NBA, but to me, it just sounds like it's the Celtics in particular. And Udoka was asked about it because we didn't really need a point guard. What did you make of that back and forth and all of that yesterday?
Well, you're exactly right. Isaiah doesn't want to play for everybody. He wants to play for the Celtics because you can't blame him. That's where he had his best years. That's where he was Isaiah, pointing to it's Isaiah time, and pointing to his wrist where a watch would be as he ran up and down the court. And again, it was you can't miss TV. It was really good to watch every night. He would come up with something and be a little better than he was the last time around. But I'm not sure those skills are there anymore. Certainly he didn't play at all last night, and hopefully he'll get back on a list tonight and be able to get some action against Boston. But I feel badly because there's a little plaintiff. It's like he's putting the Celtics in a position like they're really locking the door and leaving them outside in the cold. And I don't think that's really the case. I think the Celtics have an agenda that they should have, which is how they're going to win games best right now. And unfortunately for Isaiah, he doesn't really fit in that mix.
Yeah. And like hearing it yesterday, I kind of felt bad for him. I mean, because everyone loves Isaiah around here, but hearing it was just like,
yeah.
And you just won't love me. I just want to be loved by the Celtics. That's all. And they didn't.
He does. And if it would, if there's some way, I guess, that they could figure out, well, make him the 12th man on the roster, and you can wave a towel down the end of the bench. But I think that's more of a distraction than it is an addition. And I don't think the Celtics want to be distracted now. If this was, again, if this record was 27-38 or 27-39, as opposed to 39-27, maybe. But with the record they have right now and the chances they have right now, and they're only, what, half game behind home court advantage in Chicago, and Chicago's falling like a rock at the moment. Milwaukee's only two games ahead of them in the loss column. So, again, they got people chasing them from behind, but Cleveland's got that injury now with the big kid Allen is out, and that's going to be a problem for them. Charlotte's not going to make any kind of a move. The Nets are kind of hopelessly in that play-in game in one shape or form. So there's no place to introduce Isaiah into this whole thing. Boston just got to concentrate on winning games, which they've done very, very well. what, 13 of the last 15 or something like that. It's been fun to watch.
All right, Mike, during the broadcast, what do you do at halftime?
What? What do I do at halftime? I go get a Coke, maybe some potato chips, hit the men's room, come back.
Have you has there ever been a halftime performer that you've just had to sit there and watch? Did you see the one this past Sunday? Did you think?
I've seen that guy a bunch of times. The old guy who stands on all the chairs.
Like, that's insane. And matter of fact, I looked the guy up afterwards, and there's a viral video of Greg Popovich, who I guess loves this guy so much that the most recent game, he refused to leave the court, and it's sitting there, and like the rest of the Spurs are all laughing their ass off because they can't believe this guy pulled this off.
Pop doesn't need to look at film, really. He's been there, done that, seen it all, done it all. He can afford to hang out and let the assistants take care of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I do hang around to watch the teacup lady. I find that fascinating.
Red Panda is a legend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really good. She's really good. You know her unicycle got stolen and Charles Barkley brought in a new one?
Did
you?
That's the thing. Okay. Yeah. I read some like hard luck story about her that she had lost all her stuff or it all had been stolen.
Who would steal her unicycle?
I don't know. What are you going to do with it?
No, you're not going to sell it.
Some guy who's going to get laid all the time. Some guy who's going to go to the park and just say, ladies, I have a very specific skill.
Speaking of that, there was a guy, I went to go meet my my kids and my wife at the Common recently, and I walked up, and there's this guy standing there, like, talking to them, and he's got, like, this suit on, and I walk up, and I'm like, what is going on? And then he goes, all right, bye, and he gets on a unicycle and rolls away, and I said to my wife, and I'm like, who's that guy? He goes, oh, he's a nice guy. He's, you know, he just had a couple of, like, interesting stories. He was telling me, the guy's like, don't trust anyone who rides a unicycle.
How big was the tire on it?
Pretty big.
Yeah, because I just saw a guy in the city on a unicycle that... If he fell off of it, it would have been like falling off the roof of an SUV.
Yeah. I mean, it was
a unicycle. I'm sorry if I was distracted during that interview. This Peter Kiss kid has got a lot to be proud of. He's a six-year senior who's 24 years old.
Is he really?
Yeah, congratulations.
The all-time scorer?
Yeah, congratulations to this kid.
Is he really? He's 24 and he's a sixth year?
He's a sixth-year senior. He redshirted twice at Rutgers. He went to Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac, yep.
And then redshirted at Rutgers, then played at Rutgers, then redshirted again, then transferred to Bryant. He's a six-year, he's 24 years old.
Because of their education department, no doubt.
No, no question about it. Well, I mean,
holy cow. Three different schools, 24 years old.
Yeah, you got to impress the, Lebanese League or wherever the hell he's going to end up playing. And you got to impress the people out there. All right, Mike Gorman, thank you so much for the time, sir. We appreciate it.
I'm going to go look at this, John. I'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. Take it easy. A 60-year senior, 24 years old.
Wow.
Congratulations.
He's must-see television,
He's Jason Tatum's age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is.
He's the same age as Jason Tatum.
That's a great point.
That's correct.
He's not playing in the G League, John. There's no team that's going to waste his roster spot on a 25-year-old kid. No way.
All I'm saying is they have been NBA scouts in to see him. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, well, you have to do due diligence. And plus, if the other side, you got another kid that's from the NEC. I mean, there's got to be a lot of talent in the building.
I mean, I know the NEC obviously isn't the ACC, but no. If you're the most prolific scorer in the entire NCAA, that's going to get your foot in some doors.
It's not just a scorer, it's the size as well. He's 6'5", and he's quick, especially for this league. He's quick. So that will get him a look. I don't know if he's going to
stay, but
roster.
He couldn't stay at Rutgers.
Well, he wasn't playing at Rutgers.
Yeah, well,
so he transferred to a place where he could play.
Right, which doesn't bode well. I mean, when you're a 22-year-old that can't get on the floor at Rutgers, I don't really know if that's going to. I mean, the G League's a little more competitive.
I didn't say he's going to start.
Yes, you did.
For the Celtics, you said. The actual NBA Celtics.
I mean, you've been campaigning. For some reason, the rampant misbehavior by this school and this individual is just something you will not confront.
Rampant?
Yes. I mean, it's rampant.
I see.
but I mean, come on, man. He's 24. Yeah, that's not cool. He's Jason Tatum's age. This kid should be running crazy. I mean, you know the amount of mash you put on, like, from the age? Like, he's playing against 19-year-old kids. Like, he's a grown man. Like, he's like at the height of his athletic prowess. Like, 24 is like when you're 19, you're still a gangly kid in some cases. I mean, look at all the weight Tatum put on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at
Especially
Tatum.
The last, like, 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, the difference between a 19-year-old kid and a 24-year-old kid.
Well, I mean, Dan just said in my headphones, Giannis.
Well, Giannis literally grew.
Like, Giannis doesn't even look like the same person.
No,
when he was drafted.
And not only did he put on muscle, but he grew like inches and inches and inches, which is why you can excuse him not getting taken higher in the draft. Who could have thought? But you got to imagine that you got to imagine you have a training staff that can put muscle on a kid now. But
I want to watch every game with Bryant now. I'm rooting for, because I mean, there's a true villain. Good, great team I want to root for because of Wallach's, relationship. But, man, yeah, that guy is...
That supersedes everything moral and good.
I mean, he is going to peacock in front of the wrong guy, and he's going to get a hard elbow coming down from the bucket that is just going to...
I mean, he can go ahead and pee. I mean, 16-16, good for them. They could probably win. And then they get in and they got to play a one seed.
Yeah, they'll play Gonzaga, Auburn, or Arizona.
And they can go play that Holmgren kid who's 7'2 and shoots 60% from three. And they can go, screw around with him. And that dumb mustache kid. I hope Brian beats Gonzaga if they play him. Oh, do I hope they beat him. I can't stand that program. But that mustache kid with the headband still dancing
around. Is it Timmy?
Yeah.
Is it Timmy?
Or was Timmy the kid that got drafted?
No, Kispert was the kid who got drafted. I think it's Timmy.
Yeah, he's a big demonstrative.
With the headband, like Gardner Minshew looking guy.
Yeah, he's annoying. He's another kid because he has a mustache, thinks that he's doing something. All right, very good. I don't know why I can't stop busting your balls about Brian. I don't know why I can't.
Jealous you didn't back a winner like me.
Exactly. All right, we'll be back here with the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Right now. It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Toucher and Rich.
It's slow.
Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, I've tried to have conversations about that, but I don't know. It's hard to speak on because I've opened my arms to try to come back in so many ways. And it's not even about playing and trying to, pick up where I left off. Like, I'm past that moment. But I know... There's been times where I can help in that locker room. I'm not in there every day, so I can't speak on what's going on. This is from the outside looking in, but I felt there's been times where Brad could make a call and give me an opportunity, and it hasn't happened. So that's very frustrating because the relationship we have, the friendship we've been able to have over the years, I felt like there's been opportunity to make that happen, and it hasn't.
And regarding Isaiah, point guard was never really a position of need. Obviously, trading Dennis and getting Derek back, that filled some of the hole. And obviously, Peyton got more opportunity there. So with Marcus playing at the level he is and Peyton getting the opportunity and then Derek being able to do some, as well as Jason and Jalen handling quite a bit, point guard was never really a position of need. It was some more so other positions. And you see, we filled those roster spots with other guys.
Appropriate song, I Feel the Pain of Everyone.
Oh, Isaiah. That was kind of sad yesterday, I got to be honest. He's just like, why don't you love me?
I get what Mike Gorman, who was just on with us, was saying. If the Celtics had a worse record, you could see bringing him in here. But when you have something to play for and bench spots are at a premium, you can't put Isaiah Thomas on the floor. He'll get destroyed on the defensive end. And you remember when the Celtics were in the Eastern Conference Finals and Kemba Walker was out there?
Yep.
And all the pick and rolls, and you had Bam Adebayo with Kemba trying to guard him. I mean, Kemba is 3 or 4 inches taller than Isaiah Thomas. Mm-hmm. Isaiah is an electric offensive player, But if you're a defensive team like the Celtics, you can't have him on your team. No chance.
No, no, especially
he's
when...
He's the Peter Kiss of the NBA.
He points at his watch a few times. This is a team that made a decision, whether it was the beginning of the season or maybe even before, just before that, that we want to be defense number one. And you're right. And there's no place for Isaiah Thomas on his team for that. As you said, if it was just like throw up a Hail Mary because nothing's working,
trying to sell tickets and you're sure. 15 games under 500 and no chance at a play-in tournament.
Cares, right?
You bring them in. You have them score 20 in 15 minutes.
But,
sure.
I mean, the NBA is the gift that just keeps on giving because, you know, on top of the Celtics playing very well and being a legitimate great story, there's also the other stories that are out there, like Ben Simmons, who still has not played yet. Do we know? Like, I know he's still trying to get his back in shape.
It's now a huge deal when he's with the team on the bench. Oh, yes. He's going to accompany the team on the road trip.
Yes.
Fine, Ben. I mean, look, you got away from the team you wanted to get away from. You got your wish. You got traded to a team that's loaded with talent. How about stepping in and playing? I think the time is coming. We got about 15 games left in the season.
Well, what's fantastic about the Ben Simmons story is that you would have thought him finally getting out of Philadelphia and being on a team that he wants to be on, a team that has championship aspirations, would be enough. But no, it was reported yesterday that Ben Simmons is expected to file a grievance against the 76ers for how he was treated when he was there.
You should file a grievance. They were mean to him.
Yeah.
They could have been a lot nicer, I'll tell you that.
Fred, I mean, that comment sounds so absurd, but that's exactly what it's all about, is them being just mean to him.
Well, of course it is.
At the very beginning, you know, you have to remember, there's a lot of revisionist history with what went on with Ben Simmons. At the beginning, it was reported that he was just upset with what Doc Rivers had said and what Joel Embiid had said at the end of that awful playoff run.
All of which was the truth, by the way.
Yeah, yes. That he wouldn't take a shot. He refused to take a shot in the fourth quarter. Everyone's seen that play a million times where he gets past the ball and he's like wide open and just chucks it out to someone else. I mean, everyone knows why they called him out. Was it a good idea for Doc Rivers to do it? Probably not the best if you're the coach. I understand in the moment why you do it.
Everyone in that damn locker room was thinking the same thing.
Well, Joel Embiid said it. Joel Embiid has no filter. That's one of the reasons I love the guy.
Let's cut the crap. I mean, it happened.
No,
I mean, all they did was say something that happened.
But what I am saying is that people are changing history because after that, well after that, it became that he had to take a mental break and that it was a mental thing. If you remember, all of this started with that, and that was the reason. It was hurt feelings from the very beginning. So what is his grievance?
Well, that they hurt his feelings, and that it's something that an agent should really be pushing him to leave alone and to just let it drop.
Who's it?
Boy, the guy's got all the talent in the world. I mean, to be gifted that body and at that size and that athleticism, and you don't even have to score. And by the way, like his numbers in the regular season, like people are like, well, he can't score. Like he put up 15 a game.
No, he can score.
He just can't shoot.
In today's day and age, you need to be able to do that. And he's like the one good player that can't.
Right, but I mean, you don't. We've been through it a million times. But just the mental, well, obviously he was having like a mental thing during he wouldn't shoot. He wouldn't dunk. I mean, he had the yips.
Free throws.
And the yips to the degree I don't like talking about it because then it makes you think of the power of the human mind and how you can completely lose control of it. I mean, he was Mackey Sasser. I mean, he wouldn't dunk. So I don't doubt that's very difficult to get over. But so if I was advising him, I would be like, let's focus on getting back on the court and playing defense.
Yeah, you got what you wanted. You got paid for sitting out, well, not all of your salary because Philadelphia fined him, but you got paid a lot of money to sit out and do nothing for something that was basically your fault to begin with.
Well, if his whole argument was, well, I could have played. It was your choice to not have me out there by the way you were acting. These are your actions. I'm just reacting to the way that I was treated. And then I would say, okay, well, then I'll give you Exhibit A. You weren't ready to play after we traded you. So were you truly in game shape? Would you have really played if everything would have worked out, we kumbaya'd and everyone said you were sorry, they were sorry. You weren't ready to play. Physically, you weren't keeping yourself in shape. And you can take a look at what's going on right now. It's been, what, 3 weeks since the trade?
Yep.
And you still haven't stepped on the court.
I wonder if the Nets knew it was going to take this long.
I would bet not. I would bet no. No. I would bet you the Nets expected him on the floor sooner than this. They knew there'd be a grace period. They knew that he would be on immediately.
You're not playing a ton of minutes, but
you'd
be on
the court. You've been sitting out this long. You know, we got to get you up to speed.
Right,
you're playing, get you involved with the stuff that we do, which is different.
Yeah, 10, 15 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Get you out on the court.
Yeah, we'll sit you for a week, and then we'll ease you in. We're not going to start you.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, we'd like you on the floor.
It'll
certainly help the defense we need.
Well, I mean, they probably, if Simmons is playing defense, they probably don't lose that game to the Celtics. So, yes, I would think that they would like him on the floor. And that's not taking anything away from the Celtics. I'm just saying.
Well, just saying you're having an unbelievably talented defensive player out on the court would help.
An elite defensive player, maybe Tatum doesn't go for 50-some-odd points.
I just think that that's part of the idiot tax that you pay when you bring in a guy like that. You know that there is a certain amount of games they either won't play or there's a certain amount of drama that goes with it, and it needs to be expected. Because I don't feel bad or sorry for the Nets for him not getting in and playing right away.
Well,
that's part of the idiot tax. You knew that something like this could happen because of the drama that he has caused, of the mindset, of just who he is. If you're expecting you're getting an unblemished player ready to go, then that's on you.
That's like Bryant giving Peter Kiss a scholarship.
Let's bring it up all morning.
I marvel at how you managed to tie it back in.
Dan's really enjoying it. So I'm really just, I don't know if the audience is, but Dan's enjoying it. Because John loves Brian so much, and they never get talked about. And now the ridiculous things I'm saying are making, John's not like in favor of it. And for some reason, it's making me feel warm in my belly when I see that John's not liking any of this. All right. So we'll be back. Nick Foligno, apparently a really major deal in Columbus.
Who knew?
Well, team captain
there for years.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, when he came back, he was all the rage. We'll talk to him about all that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.